Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hi, this is Dave with a production note. We had a guest sitting in with us this week, but I forgot to turn on her mic because I'm an idiot. So I recovered the audio from a different mic, so that's why she sounds like she's a million miles away. Not her fault, it's mine.
Do you mind telling me what I've done?
Please, Brandon, just go.
Everyone, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 2, The Girl from New York City. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Oh man, the intros never sounded better.
That was one of the best intros
I know,
we've
you're
ever
fired,
had.
Dave.
First, before we get into it, a note. Welcome to Natalie Kane, who's sitting in on the podcast with us today. Hello, Natalie.
Hi.
Hello, Natalie.
Natalie is a listener, and she is also currently a guest with her husband at the guest house at Fort Awesome. So this is a good time to tell you this is 100% one of the perks that you can get if you stay here. Just kidding, unless you want it. So if you're interested in staying at our house on the Big Island, please visit fortawesomehawaii.com.
Seriously, highly
thank you so much. That's not why we had you do this, but maybe it is a little bit. Anyway, welcome, Natalie. We're very happy to have you. Sarah.
Speaking of ways that you can support Fort Awesome and our constellation of businesses, there are, Again With This, themed shirts available. You can be Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know. You can support The Blaze, which a lot of parents read. You can Not Be Such a Squeef. All of these are available at glarkware.com. That's Glark, W-A-R-E. com. And I'd also like to welcome any listeners that are new to our podcast from Pop Culture Happy Hour, Woo! Where Linda Holmes very nicely mentioned us in the most recent episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour. Welcome, everyone. if you missed the Donna Martin Graduates episode, please subscribe to us in iTunes. It is in the feed, and it is really a lot of me swearing, which some people enjoy. I enjoy swearing.
It was a very
really a fucking
episode.
Lot. So anyway, about Brandon.
Yeah. Let's get into this episode, which Brandon, well, we'll get to Brandon's contributions to feminism and the world anon. But first, let's start with our C story. Felice hates Donna. Donna hates Felice. Dylan and Kelly hate each other. So Kelly and Donna are moving in and cleaning the apartment at the beach for what I'm assuming is the first time ever for either of them. Felice and David are together unattended, but the cover story is that David will be living in a frat house with Steve. David's earring, by the way, is enormous and piratey, and you can see it in the visual aids. It's so big.
He really does need a parrot on his shoulder.
Yes, it does. And a hook for a hand. just a sidebar here. What is the explanation that anyone gave Felice for why, if Donna and Kelly are going to be living there alone, it's a three-bedroom? Never explained or ever brought up. Whatever.
They have a podcast? And that's the studio?
We do see him setting up his sound system later, so maybe that is the explanation.
God. 90s.
So, there's a lot of holes back here. Okay.
Yeah, there sure are.
Mm-hmm.
So in the men's room.
Over in Malibu, Dylan shows up at the beach house, which is still a thing that's happening, approves of Brandon's latest lady, and then has to field uncomfortable questions in clip number two.
So Dylan, tell us about Europe. Kelly said it was great.
She did? You sound surprised. Yeah, well, things aren't exactly copacetic with me and Kelly right now.
You're kidding. What happened?
I don't know. I think maybe we got on each other's nerves a little bit.
What? Kelly got on your nerves? What a surprise.
Hey, maybe it was me, okay? I don't know.
It was both of you.
Yeah.
Solid. That's really all there is to say. There's both of them. Although his hair is looking marginally better this season. Would you agree?
Yes, because it's grown out to the point where it can no longer support its own weight and is like is defloofing.
Yeah. It definitely makes him look older, but it's better. And, you know, people should always embrace their age, really, hair-wise. Just shave your head if you need to, everybody who is bald. Anyway, Dylan shows up at the Peach Pit just in time to interrupt boring talk of Andrea's grandma's diabetes and Nat's time in the Navy as an almost medic. Andrea asks how Dylan likes Kelly's new apartment, but he didn't know she got one and has apparently not called her since he got back to town. Andrea somehow blows right past that weirdness to a different opera topic in clip number 3.
So, when are you heading up north?
North?
Berkeley?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I'm not. I didn't get in.
I'm sorry.
Not that big a deal. Don't worry about it. But what about you? When are you leaving for Yale?
You really are out of the loop.
I love that they both think they're so interesting that in the era before like email and texting and stuff that anyone would know anything about anyone who had been out of town for that long.
Yeah. They're... like that there would have been skywriting over Cognac or wherever the fuck he was reading a million books and ignoring Kelly.
God, I can't wait to get to that. Okay. Meanwhile, in Donna's car, Kelly tells Donna she has to tell Felice the truth about the apartment. Donna insists that she can't, but Kelly tries to make her see reason rather than Steph in clip number 4.
She's going to find out sooner or later. What if she calls and David picks up?
So we'll get 2 phone lines.
Okay. What if she just stops by one night and finds him there?
Kelly, she's moving to Houston. It's not like she can just pop in. You've got this all figured out, don't you?
If I recall correctly, she does just pop in eventually because it's Felice. Yes?
Yeah.
But also 2 phone lines. Aw, the past. Remember when you had different phone lines?
Kids, ask your great-grandparents.
They pull in at the Peach Pit where they see Dylan's car in the parking lot, which Kelly weirdly knows the license plate of, which I think is a strange detail. I don't know my own license plate number. Anyway, Kelly is hurt that Dylan didn't call, but Donna points out that he doesn't have their number or know where they live. Kelly wants to leave and get food somewhere else, which I didn't know was even an option.
Not that
for
that
the gang.
Stopped Dylan from calling Brenda, though.
No, that's true. How did he even get that number? Good question. Anyway, Kelly's not ready to see him, not after what happened in Europe, and then swears Donna to secrecy before telling this story. So basically, after Dylan found out he didn't get into Berkeley, he just wanted to read and mope and drink coffee. And since Kelly wanted to do things, he told her she should go to Paris, and she did, but clip number 5.
When I got back, he was still in his usual spot, still drinking coffee, but he wasn't reading. He was with this gorgeous French girl. I could tell by looking at the two of them that they had gotten very friendly. Bonjour.
Hi, Kel. How you doing? This is Brigitte. Je vous présente Kelly.
How do you do? Comment?
Oh, she doesn't speak any English.
How convenient.
Elle a dépensé une fortune dans le magasin à Paris.
C'est l'habitude à faire ses courses à Beverly Hills.
Ah oui, c'est la reine du shopping.
Ou au moins la princesse.
Are you laughing at me?
No, we're not, Kel. It's just a joke.
In that case, why don't you tell me what you said?
Because it loses something in the translation.
Peut-être qu'il va mieux que je vous laisse seuls tous les deux. À tout à l'heure.
No, restez ici.
You slept with her, didn't you?
No, Kel, I didn't sleep with her. What has gotten into you?
I go away for 3 days and suddenly you're all cheered up.
If you want to believe I slept with her, that's fine with me. You can believe anything you want, Kel. I don't care. But you want to know something? You're right about one thing. With you out of the picture, things were definitely a little more upbeat. You know why? Because I have to listen to all your complaining and moaning. And finally, I got some peace and quiet.
Fine. You want peace and quiet? I'll give you peace and quiet. Try not to choke on it.
Okay, just a note, and you can see this in the visual aids. They established in this speech, in this clip, that Kelly has been gone for 3 days, and yet she comes back from this trip with no luggage and like 7 shopping bags, just in case we didn't know what she was doing. Like, all right. She would have it in one bag by that point. It looked like she had 1 scarf in each bag. Stupid.
Well, yeah, and it was like the same, it was the same props from his like nightmare of when they were married.
You're right. They were.
Conspiracy. Yeah. There was like a sliding door moment a couple episodes ago we missed. And this is like one of the trains.
Also, yes. Like, take a picture with a disposable camera because 94 and then leave. Because if he hasn't fucked her yet, then he's doing it wrong. Like he was examining her hand.
Yes. There's a picture of that in the visual aids, too. he is not so innocent considering what is about to come out. He's, you know, he's certainly feeding Kelly's paranoia by being a dink. Also, she makes the most hilarious, furious face at him after they speak French at her, which you can also see in the visual aids. So then she didn't talk to him for 3 days. Donna tells her that she has to go talk to Dylan, but Kelly doesn't want to, and Donna drops it. And then later at home, Kelly is in Donna's room staring at the phone, willing Dylan to call her. Donna tells her to just call him and says, it's time you need to go crawling back to him or something, which is like, as far as Donna knows, he did cheat on her. So what kind of friend advice is that? I would like to know.
And it's not the first time he's done it to a friend of hers. Like, why is Donna always like team Dylan?
Yeah.
In these like, ugh, shut up, everyone.
That's a great point. Kelly calls Donna's advice disgusting, which I agree, but then admits that it's possible that Dylan did not actually cheat on her and that she feels guilty. Donna asks what that means, and Kelly reveals that there's more to the story than she admitted before in clip number 6.
There was this cute bartender at the cafe in the hotel. His name was Gaston.
Gaston? Like in Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, but he was no beast. After what Dylan did to me, I decided to give him a taste of his own medicine.
You did? What'd you do?
I was just about to tell you. See, Gaston had been bugging me to go for a drive with him. Finally, I said yes. Dylan was so buried in his book, he didn't even know I'd left. When I got back to the hotel, Dylan wasn't in the room, but I knew where to find him.
You know what time it is?
No.
It's game time.
Where the hell you been?
Time for you to shut the fuck up.
What do you care when you have Brigitte to keep you company?
Don't push me, Kel.
Oh, who's whining and complaining now?
I'm just asking where you've been for the last 5 hours.
I went for a drive, if it's any of your business.
You and the bartender?
Yes. And he took me back to his apartment, and I had a great time.
So is it true what they say then, you know, about the French lovers? Was it good?
Very good.
Next electric guitar. Don't say lover. That's all I have to say about all of that. Just don't. It's gross.
Say anything.
Right. And also, like, do you know what time it is? No, I don't, Dad. Fuck off. They hate each other.
Ugh.
After the story, Kelly admits that she didn't actually have sex with the bartender. And she went back to Paris and came home a week early. Donna tells Kelly she needs to tell Dylan the truth because Donna is such a paragon of honesty herself right now, what with her whole Felice scheme. Speaking of Felice, Felice comes back, loudly talking about how full she is after dinner to the apartment. Kelly hides David in the bathroom because this is almost literally Three's Company. That's where she wants to go, so they have to tell her that they're out of toilet paper so that she will leave without finding David there. But
what?
They say she can't use the bathroom because they're out of toilet paper. In a house with two girls. I'm just saying it wouldn't happen. But at any point, she was going to comment on the third bedroom again. I bring this up that she and Kelly's mother are paying for in this joint that isn't getting used. I mean, honestly, there's a third bedroom. But whatever. Once they've gotten rid of her, there's more Steph in clip number 7.
What are you doing in here?
Going to bed.
Oh, no, not in here. You're not.
Oh, come on, Donna. You said we'd do it on prom night, and you've been putting me off all summer. I mean, we live under the same roof, for God's sakes. Isn't that like common law marriage or something?
David, go to your room.
What did I do in a previous life to deserve this?
Well, you might have been a pirate if the earring is anything to go by. Just a thought. I know you wouldn't believe it if I told you that Donna conducts this conversation clutching a stuffed plush kitty to her torso, but I swear it's true, and it's in the visual aids, so you can see I am not lying about this incredibly obvious, dumb symbolism. Oh, Donna. Then Dylan is at his house sorting mail when there's a knock at the door. It's Kelly. She's nervous. He's cold. They hate each other. Clip number 8.
Hey.
Thank you. You are back.
I'm back. Culture shock hasn't worn off yet.
So were you ever going to call?
They're going to give me your number.
Okay, or even.
On all counts.
Dylan, I was such an idiot. I was selfish and jealous and mean. And I know you're probably not going to believe this, but I never slept with that guy. I only let you think I did to make you mad and...
They start kissing.
Whatever, they still hate each other.
So snacky.
I miss you so much.
I missed you too. And for the record, Cal, I didn't sleep with Bridget either.
I knew that.
Those smacky sounds like they're splitting pistachios or something.
Oh, gross. Wait. Eating a banana.
Hang on. Hang on. Let's hear this. Right?
It's like halfway between gum chewing and mouth fart noises. It's so unpleasant.
I really want to find the Foley artist for this episode.
Oh, I hate to go from that to this. But first, before we move on to our B plot, we have a special birthday list for Rob Hartman.
Hey, Rob.
Woo!
5 ways Rob Hartman would be a better member of the gang than his fellow musician, David Silver.
First, Rob Hartman probably wouldn't be pressuring Donna for sex as his entire storyline for like 7 seasons.
Rob Hartman would figure out a way to add swag even to a tiny green plastic cowboy hat at his doomed ex-friend's dumb party.
If Rob Hartman made a stupid video yearbook, it would have awesome games in it.
When Rob Hartman decides to switch it up, it stays switched.
And Rob Hartman is seldom, if ever, a squeef.
Indeed. So from all of us at Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition.
And from your sister, Rindy, happy birthday,
happy
Rob.
Happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday, Rob. And if you listen to Extra Hot Great, get ready for another Rob Hartman game time tomorrow.
Oh, my. Sweet. That is exciting. So moving on to our B plot, Brenda and Darla hate each other. So Brenda is morosely writing a letter home about the weather and realizes one line in that she's lying about having missed the change in seasons. Darla and her even more boring minions enter, and Brenda is, surprise, bitchy to them in clip number 10.
Oh, man, it's been wet out there.
Yeah, well, what's new?
We just heard a weather report in the car. It may snow tonight.
Great.
Better get used to it, Brenda. Bikini season's over.
I hate to defend Brandon on any point, but when she was applying to the school, he pointed out to her that the weather is sucky. Like, why is she acting like this is all a personal attack on her?
Or that it was hidden from her when she used to live there, and it's not actually Minifornia.
Right.
It's Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know what everyone knows about it? The winters are severe and kind of long.
I got to go back to this whole sliding doors theory where people are living parallel lives in different universes within this show.
So?
Well, that she previously had lived in some sort of eternal summer Minnesota a Minnesota that was perhaps where, you know, like Florida and Minnesota's names were switched in her reality or something.
Yeah. That's an interesting theory.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Brenda then looks mopily at the poster that Celeste made for her, and Darla tells her she's never going to stop being homesick if she keeps staring at it, and then immediately pisses off Brenda again, some more, in clip 11.
I guess I have to admit, it didn't take long to get used to the good life out there.
Well, come on, Brenda, you were never really one of them.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, you came back, didn't you?
I don't really understand Darla's logic. Seems really weird and hostile, but on the other hand, if you were living with Brenda, you might be too.
Well, and let's remember that Darla, and you can see this in the visual aids, is someone who thinks that dressing for a date at which you expect to get it in a like pink, shapeless polo shirt button down.
That's a man's shirt, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and pleated khakis, and then she's like, well, I'm really going to spiff it up with these stud earrings that you can't even see because I have long hair. Like, where did she know this guy from? Like, Model UN or something? How hard up are these people?
Academic decathlon. Same thing. Well, yeah.
I guess if you have a pulse, you can wear whatever you want, but Jesus. Like,
I suppose. But as you say, she then formally alerts Brenda of her intent to bone later and has a fucking bordello red tassel for the doorknob instead of just a scrunchie or a sock like a normal fucking person. Yes?
I don't know why. For some reason, intent to bone seems like a bad novel from a formerly like established writer that you find at the airport. You're like, yeah, all right, it's a 3-hour flight. I guess I'll read Intent to Bone.
Clive Cussler's Intent to Bone.
Or it's like Dog the Bounty Hunter branches into Bodice Rippers. Intent to Bone.
Oh, God, this tassel. Please go to Visual Aids and see it. It's so unsubtle. Like, the idea that, I mean, I assume anytime you're in a dorm and you see anything anywhere, you just assume it's a signal that someone's inside fucking. But this tassel is, like, removing all doubt possible.
I just assumed that it was her graduation tassel.
Oh, really? It's huge.
So I guess
Natalie
she went
is
to...
shaking her head. No, you
no?
don't think so? It looked really big to be a graduation tassel to me. I don't know. Maybe she went somewhere that they have very large heads.
Hooker High.
Maybe. Hooker High in Minnesota. Anyway, Darla's goon is then at the door in a members only jacket, of course. And oh my God, his name is Dylan. Brenda has regrets about her life, whatever. Then, speaking of her, back home, Cindy is loitering around Brenda's bedroom being sad. Jim uses this as an excuse to get his swerve on, and then they bone on Brenda's bed, and it's not okay. It's not okay.
No, it's not okay. It's not okay. We're not talking about it anymore. It's so not okay, we need to move on.
Except to say I did make a gif of it. Sorry, not sorry. Speaking of boning...
It sucks.
It does suck. Poor little Brenda then has to pout in the hall under Darla's red tassel because she hasn't made another friend that she could go hang out with because she's a bitch. The next day, Brenda and her terrible hair have a new thing to complain about in clip number 12.
I don't believe it. How is it possible that I got locked out of every course in the drama department?
It's a big school. Freshmen never get what they want. It's like paying dues.
Yeah, I guess so.
Besides, who cares? There's a floor party tonight. That's what college is really for, right?
Kitty, if I really wanted to party, I could just stay in LA where they really know how it's done.
Brenda, if you hate it here so much, why'd you come back?
I don't believe this. It's the middle of the afternoon.
Well, we know what Darla's studying, right?
What is... What? How do you go from they really know how to party at LA to people shouldn't have sex in the afternoon? Like, pick a lane. Anyway.
Yeah. Also, there should be a lounge. All dorms have lounges. This is why.
Yes.
Go get some Goldenberg's peanut chews out of the vending machine and watch Phillies baseball and wait for your roommate to be done being a big hoe. In theory. Details totally speculative. Hi, Lisa.
Maybe she was just reading. Yeah, this is so much a thing that there's a whole episode of Undeclared about like all of the roommates gathering together in the lounge and then they end up like hooking up with each other because why not? Which is a very good episode, by the way. Check it out. Then Brenda goes straight from this outrage to put change into a payphone. Ask your congressman, I guess, to call her blondest friends in clip 13.
Hi, this is Kelly.
And this is Donna.
And we're here at our new beach house, and you're not.
But leave a message, and we'll invite you over.
Yeah.
Dave is shaking his head with disgust. Yes?
Well, that's like, you know, if you live somewhere nice and it's winter everywhere else, you post pictures of sunshine and not shoveling sidewalks and stuff. It's just, you don't rub your face, don't rub people's faces in it.
Also, I mean, even if you do live in
LA, we live in Hawaii and it's great.
That's still an obnoxious message, even if you were calling from Los Angeles. Like, you're not, and they could call it, we'll invite you over. That's okay.
Also, the double mint twins routine is
also it's long. Say your names, get to the beep. Yeah. Shit's annoying.
You know, when I was a kid and I got control of the answering machine, I did this like whole 2-minute long, like Monty Python, because you know, I was a super nerd.
Sure.
Monty Python, a Holy Grail ask and answer thing with the like I was having a conversation with all the people. Uh-huh. And seriously, my mother had to like set me down. So when people call, they can't sit through like 90 seconds of Monty Python skit every time because you find it funny. And I thought, why? When I grow up, I'm going to have that 90 minute. But you know what, guys? Mom was right.
Do you even have a voicemail box now? I'm not sure that you do.
It's just whatever AT&T tells you. Yeah.
Back to the show. Later, Darla can barely squeeze into her jeans and blames mac and cheese, which you should never do. You should revere mac and cheese. Brenda asks Darla to spend the night in Dylan's room so that Brenda can get some sleep. Then Darla pulls a chair over to beg Brenda to come to the party tonight. Why? Brenda is a pill. But Brenda is not in the mood, and Darla has a dire warning in clip 14.
What's the matter with you? People are going to think you're some kind of wonk or something.
Ooh.
I just never thought that I would be this homesick.
Look, I'm going downstairs to that party, and I expect you to put on one of those hot little numbers from Beverly Hills all of us would kill for. Come downstairs and join us. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, Bren.
Thanks, Darla.
Sure. What are friends for?
I love the idea because, as Sarah's already said, Darla is a terrible dresser, that she is jealous of anything Brenda owns. Like, really? You want to trade in your t-shirt from Kohl's? Okay, that's news. Anyway.
Oh, we can't always be a Chico's kind of day, Tara.
True. Apparently, Brenda doesn't care if anyone thinks she's a wonk, the worst fate imaginable, because she's sleeping when Darla and her inconsiderate friends stumble in later in clip 15.
Shh, you guys, Brenda's sleeping.
Shh, good.
I'm sorry, I know she's your friend and all, but if you wanted to just stick a bitch in your life,
really?
I mean, she thinks she's so hot just because she's from Beverly Hills.
I don't think she's so hot.
Shh, guys, wake her up.
Notice how she's not defending her?
Oh, maybe she'll come around. If not, then it's going to be a very long year.
I mean, I really haven't met such a stuck-up bitch in my life, to be honest. She is really being an asshole.
She's not even being an asshole. It's just like, why are you here? Like, yeah. You hate everything.
Mm-hmm.
Bye? Single? Ugh.
Why did you think this was a good idea? Like, that you would still have anything in common with someone you were friends with in grade 8? I mean, I know it happens, but, like, you obviously fell at it. Whatever. This is about to be over. Why do we care? Brenda's outfit is completely insane. She's got, like, a long wool overcoat over a crop top and, like, weird Pocahontas half pigtails. It's terrible. As Brenda stomps to her room, sees the tassel, and freaks the fuck out in clip 16.
Yeah. Brenda, we had a deal, and I just broke it. What are you doing? Look, Darla, I'm getting out of here, and then you can have the room all to yourself.
See you later, Dar.
Bye, sorry. Listen, Brenda, we can hang out in his dorm from now on.
No, this was just a terrible mistake.
Hey, please don't move out, Brenda. I know I've been a jerk lately, but we've been friends forever.
Darla, let's face it. Forever was a long time ago. And I heard what you and Katie said about me last night.
About Brenda. I'm so sorry. Listen, I'll make it up to you, I promise.
Look, the truth is, it's not about you. It's me. I came out here to prove some kind of a point. To prove that I could make it on my own. That I didn't need to be in LA where Brandon was or where all my friends were. I wanted to be different. Well, it turns out I am different. Not just from my friends back home, but from you and everyone else. And that's just the way it is.
What?
That's one word for it, I guess. Seriously? Different. There's, like, another word. It's shorter. It starts with a C.
She's, yeah, hating everything is not a personality. Like, you're just bitchy and unhappy. Like, maybe you should be in therapy rather than in Minnesota. But anyway, Darla, by the way, was having sex in her Oxford button down. So when she gets out of bed, she's in like that.
And also
no
appeared to be wearing like boxer shorts.
Maybe.
Like, I don't. Good
I
luck.
Don't know.
We never see her again.
Whatever. Whatever she was doing, it was clearly working for her, so go with God, Darla. Back at the beach, David is making Donna, as we said before, help him set up his sound system, and she's like, there's a lot of holes back here, and it's so dumb that neither I nor Sarah listed it to be clipped, and I am proud of us both. The gang comes over for pizza and pop, or possibly beer, and Donna pulls David aside into the kitchen because they have a problem in clip number 9.
Dylan and Kelly are all over each other.
So?
So, Brenda called me yesterday and I told her they broke up.
Who cares?
Well, Brenda might care.
But it doesn't matter. Brenda's halfway across the country.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But is Dread Pirate David right? No, because back in Minneapolis, Brenda and her meager possessions that all fit in like two suitcases leave the unusually ornate doors of her dorm. And she gets into a yellow cab because Brenda is done with Minneapolis and she never saw it again.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, that was...
Guess they came to terms on her contract.
Yes, and maybe now she will start trying to act in her scenes because she hasn't been in these first two episodes of the season at all, like, at all. Everything she says is either flat or super-duper bitchy, so... Good luck if they expect her to play any other notes this season. Moving on to our A plot. Brandon solves rape culture. Steve and Brandon and their lady friends and Brandon's stupid new haircut play tennis for 500 years. Oh. Sarah, let's talk about this haircut because it's a fucking problem.
I just don't, even for the time, I don't understand it.
No.
Like whatever is going on David's head at various times, like it's yeah. hideous and unflattering. Mm-hmm. But it had some basis in something. Like, Brandon has, like, the top of his head is, like, this tousled crop circle that really looks very pointy. Like, it does look like a boot brush. But then the rest of his head is shaved, like, almost bicked down to the skin.
Yeah.
And you can really see, and, like, no judgment. I have exactly this back hairline. It's why I have finally given up on having the short bob. Mm-hmm. Because the hairline goes way down and is a square
yeah.
in the back, and you just have to keep it constantly shaved up, and it's not worth it maintenance-wise, but you can really see it on him, and it just, it's like too, I don't even know. It's like someone put a plate of pine needles on his head and then shaved the rest, and it's hideous and makes him look like even more, like when he's braying, it like... Makes it more bray-y. Oh, it's so bad.
It
so
has
fucking bad.
It's also like considering how tall his hair has been in like the first three seasons of the show, which is very tall. It has so much product in it, but now it's spiky, like because it's short on top, but it's still really over gelled. And yet the sides sort of like flare out like at 45 degree angles from the shaved part. Like it's almost
it
like
it looks like he styled it by walking under a helicopter that was taking off.
He looks okay. I have very at various times it the top of it looks like actual Velcro, like the fuzzy side.
Yes,
it also looks kind
and
of
he is the dwarf stuck to it.
Yeah, he looks a little Fido Dido-y too, like uh-huh. that shape, but also yep. he just hit the head, it just he looks like a screw. Listen to me though, you know how the top of a screw, like the tops, the jelly part is like the part that you screw in, and then it like how a screw is tapered. That's what his head looks like now.
So he looks like Guile from Street Fighter too.
Sure.
Yeah,
I don't know what that yes. means. I will take your word for it. Okay, Dave is googling. Anyway, long story short, Brandon's hair is terrible. And I believe, like, as soon as it can, it grows out because we, like, it's bad for a couple of episodes and then it sort of calms down. Like, someone on the staff was like, oh, we got to fix this shit. Like, they were, oh, yeah. Dave just pulled up the face of the Street Fighter guy.
It's like it, they didn't want to, us to see, like, the gap between the seasons with his hair.
Yeah.
But then they started making this style like more and more itself. And yeah. then they realized they'd gone way too far.
Yeah. It's
or something. It's this very like, I don't know, NASCAR mental hospital situation. Not cute at all. Even for him. And you're just like, ugh.
NASCAR oh mental hospital sitch. Got it.
Natalie, you can Wish. Laugh out loud. It's okay. We gave you a microphone. All right. As obsessed as you were with the badness of Dylan's hair in season 3, and I do not blame you, it was terrible. I feel like I have that now with Brandon's hair in season 4. Like, it offends me on a personal level. It's so bad. Please see the visual.
I completely support you, and I think we are now up to 7 different, like, metaphorical systems to describe, but like you just have to go to the visual aids because you know there's only so much we can do.
Right.
We're just two women filled with hate.
only about...
And picture is worth a thousand swears. Let's move on.
And seriously, considering how terrible he is in this storyline this week, the fact that we're focusing on his hair should tell you how bad that hair is. It's really bad. Okay. Steve and Brandon are extremely competitive playing this tennis game that goes on forever. And Jill and Celeste hate their guts, but not as much as when Brandon challenges Steve to an immediate rematch. Like, even I know there would be people waiting for the court. Like, would there not? I feel like there would be. Maybe not.
Well, and why wouldn't the girls just be like, we don't want to do this anymore.
Play by yourselves.
Bitch, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone has a car. Like, just leave. Go see a movie. Anyway, Steve and Brandon go on to be very competitive about cards, which is when we learn that Steve is still horny for Jill in clip 17. The spread eagle.
Jill Fleming has been the object of every fantasy I have ever had.
Do me a favor, bro. Keep your fantasies to yourself.
I can't help it.
Bro.
She was the fastest thing on this beach. I can't believe I never slept with her.
Bro, you...
What did he just say?
She was the fastest thing on this beach.
Wow, that's a... Yeah, all right. Panty melter line if I ever heard one.
We're 13 years old.
That's no excuse. Come on. Fill in the blanks for me, right? Torture your buddy a little bit. What's she like in bed?
I haven't slept with her yet.
Ew!
Oh, well,
what?
You guys have been hanging out for a week. What's wrong with you?
Nothing. It just hasn't happened yet. Wait a minute. Wait. What am I talking to you about this for?
What are you waiting for?
Nothing, Steve, and this is none of your business.
Okay, this is none of my business, but Jill's going back to New York in 3 days, and if I was going out
with
her...
Which you're not.
If I was going out with her, which I'm not, and she was sleeping in the bedroom next to me, which she is, I would have made a move on her.
Thank you for those pearls of wisdom, Steve.
Don't say pearls in this context. Makes me want to barf myself inside out, bro.
Yeah.
Ugh.
There's so, and just remember, Brandon is supposed to be like the air quotes good guy in this conversation. And even he is like, I haven't slept with her yet. Like, how about I haven't slept with her? Or how about I'm not talking about this with you? Like, gross. So, so gross.
And for the benefit of our new listeners, that music cue is our squick sound effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Maytag repairman bad touching cue.
Yeah. Anyway, after this, they then race to the water because if you hadn't picked up on the theme yet, they are very competitive with each other. Later, under a fluffy boom mic, it's in the visual aids, Jill and Brandon can't stop with the social commentary in clip 18.
I can't believe I have to go back to the city in 3 days.
Why is it all New Yorkers refer to New York as the city?
Jerk
as if
off
there
motion.
Are no other cities in the world.
Because there isn't.
There aren't.
Are you telling me you prefer your six-story walk-up in Greenwich Village to this?
Yes.
No, don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like the song goes, I love L.A. I want to go home. This week has been great. You're great.
You know, they have colleges out here. You could transfer.
And lose a ton of credits? No, thank you. Besides, I only have one more year left.
Well, I'm going to miss you.
They start kissing, disgustingly.
Brandon, let's stay on the side streets before we get on the freeway. This is going a little fast.
Jill, you're going home in 3 days. How slow do you want to go?
Maybe I just don't want to start something that I can't finish.
But don't worry about that. I've been told I'm a real good closer.
Who told you that? Cheryl?
Cheryl!
Actually, Cheryl did tell you that.
She
fucking
did.
Cheryl. Why?
Fucking Cheryl is to blame for all of this. Oh,
she
God.
She really is. God damn it, Cheryl.
Also, you can see it in the visual aids because it has to be seen to be believed. But at some point, Jason Priestley's kissing technique evolved into like a starfish sucking onto the side of an aquarium wall. Like, it's so devouring. It's disgusting.
He really,
can suck the bolts off
like,
a submarine.
Yeah, and then like when he disengages, there's like a sound effect. Like he's like an entire cheekbone is in his smug maw.
You think we're exaggerating, but seriously, look at the visual aids because we're not.
He's like It sounds like he's basically Dr. Zoidberg from
Futurama.
That's
the first thing that I thought of, but then I thought that was too specific an example. But yes, I did think of that in the Roswell episode.
Oh, and now that character is ruined for me.
Sorry.
Thanks, Dave. And Cheryl.
And fucking Cheryl. The next day, there's more fucking tennis. Brandon wins. Steve wants a rematch again. Jill wants to quit while they're ahead. Steve suggests putting money on the game as though Brandon didn't just spend half of season three having a gambling problem, which does not come up. But the trash talk works, even though Jill and Celeste both say they're too tired for another game. The guys make them and the women don't tell them to fuck off. In the second game, Steve's a real prick, calling Jill a baby and serving at her head. Jill tries again to get out of the penis contest, but Brandon tells her to shake it off, which is when Steve actually does hit Jill with a ball. And a fight at the net ensues in clip 19.
All right, Sanders, that's it. What the hell's the matter with you?
Yeah, but you did hit her.
Will you quiet? I'm talking to you.
All right, quiet. Listen, man, you got a problem.
Get out of my face. All right, I'm thinking it's supposed to be fun.
I know you're taking all the nights.
Right.
Jill, what's the matter?
You're just as bad as he is, Brandon. And this is supposed to be a tennis game, not some kind of macho fight to the death.
You should have said that before the second game, because this didn't have to happen. But anyway.
Yeah, why?
I don't know why they keep playing.
Also, honestly. Way to devalue macho.
Anyway, Jill takes off with Celeste following her, and Brandon and Steve make manly peace in their absence. And back at the beach house, Jill is packing when Brandon comes in to invalidate her feelings in clip 20.
You're leaving over a tennis game? Jill, I'm sorry. I know Steve got a little out of hand.
Yeah, so did you, Brandon.
It was just a guy thing.
I know what it was, thank you. Doesn't mean I have to put up with it.
Well, it doesn't mean you have to leave either.
Don't tell me what to do.
I'm not telling you what to do. I just don't want you to leave, that's all.
No, just get away from me.
Okay. Thank you. Keep that spirit in your heart and parts beyond. Yeah.
Yes. And then at one point he like is physically in her space. Yeah. Like, stop doing that. Ugh. He's just the worst.
I mean, granted, we don't know yet why that's not okay. But even if we didn't, even if there she didn't have a story, like, back off. She's telling you to leave her alone. Leave a lady alone. Anyway, Steve has downshifted to Frisbee on the beach with Celeste when Jill comes to sit with Brandon in his tank top and jeans. She's in a better mood and apologizes for overreacting, which she should not have done, by the way. Apologize, I mean. He apologizes back for coming on too strong, but she says it's her in clip 21.
I've been kind of upset lately. That's why I came out here. To get out of New York for a while.
Anything you want to talk about?
Not really.
Not with you. Okay. I was like to add, no, but no, just disagree.
I just drifted off into a reverie of despising
his hair.
Yeah. He just looks like, you know, the frisé. You and I have discussed this. You don't have a problem with frisé in a salad.
No.
I hate it and think that it's a ripoff and is taking up valuable real estate that could be occupied by a chickpea or some cheese.
Yeah.
He looks like that.
Yeah.
With like a lot of vinaigrette dressing on it.
Yes. You're right. You're very right.
And that's, what is it, our eighth, ninth simile?
Someone in the thread wants to make a list of all of the analogies we make for Brandon's hair. Please feel free. Jill's not leaving yet after all. She says she's going to go the next night as planned. And oh my God, you guys are not going to believe what a good guy Brandon is in clip 22.
Listen. I'm not going to try to push into anything.
Oh, holy shit. What a prince. Oh, my God.
I might push myself into something. Boom, chicka, wah, wah.
Like, why does that even need to be said? What is wrong with him? God. Anyway. Ugh.
Yes. Congratulations for not being an actively rapey raper.
Honestly. I mean, okay. So then a sheepish Steve comes over with Celeste and apologizes for his untennis-like behavior earlier, and everyone agrees that Steve and his jorts should buy everyone lunch. Then that night, Jill pours Brandon a glass of wine from the best bottle in her father's cellar. And look, I obviously don't care if Brandon drinks or not, but the days of him bragging about not drinking fucking better be behind him, consider how much he's been drinking lately. Then shit gets problematic. This is a long clip, but there was really no way to cut it down. So get comfy for clip 23.
I meant what I said last night. If we're going to do this, please go slow.
I like it slow.
I'm gay now.
I can't.
What's Is it wrong? The music?
It's like knockoff Fields of Gold by Sting, too. Yeah.
You can trust
Fields
me.
Of poo.
Okay, here it goes. 6 months ago, I was at this little gallery in Tribeca. It got late, so I went out to look for a cab. Probably shouldn't have been there alone. That's what everyone says anyway. There weren't any cabs, so I started walking. I heard these footsteps behind me. This guy grabbed me. He had a knife. I had to do what he wanted me to. I didn't have any choice.
Hey. Come on, don't have to say anymore. I wish I would have known. I don't know, maybe I could have helped or something.
No, you did, and you did help. Just being with you guys, I felt like I was back in the land of the living again. But then watching you and Steve try to tear each other's heads off on the tennis court, I don't know, it just got to me.
But I'm not a violent guy, neither is Steve.
I know that. Telling someone you were raped is not exactly the greatest way to start a relationship.
Well, it's better than not telling someone.
Would you do me a favor?
Anything.
Would you sleep with me tonight?
Are you sure that's what you want?
I want to sleep with you. Just sleep. I want to feel your arms around me and know what it's like to be close with someone again without being afraid.
Well, you don't have to be afraid of me.
Because I'm short. All right. The music just keeps going.
I know. It's like total like,
can
music.
We cut
like
the fucking KMST Moist FM like background fern bar track for 2 minutes while she's talking about being stranger raped in a vestibule.
I know.
I might have added the vestibule part.
Yeah.
Also, why? Who wrote the part where she got out in front of victim blaming and did it to herself?
Seriously. I shouldn't have been.
Fuck this whole thing.
That's what everyone tells me. Like, who told you that? What asshole told you that?
I hope you don't know these everyone's anymore because they suck shit.
Yeah. It's really not the point. Really, really not the point. But, I mean, I don't know where to begin or end. This is terrible. The idea that, like, Brandon is her safe space is, like, so sad for her as a woman and a person. Also, his concern face is, like, so overdone. It's like... seeing the visual aids, honestly, words don't do it justice, and the fact that it's under that hair is like even more offensive. The next morning, Brandon has apparently successfully spooned away all of Jill's PTSD in clip 24.
Can you sleep?
So good.
No.
Better than I have in months. I can't tell you how much it means to me to feel safe in a man's arms again.
Who's?
Thank you.
I ain't no need to thank me. I had a wonderful time. It's almost as good as having sex.
Yeah, I almost feel like we did.
Also, don't call Brandon a man. It will give him ideas about himself that he does not deserve. And if there was any doubt that she didn't want to have sex that night, her incredibly frumpy nightgown would have put them to rest because, wow, it's like straight out of Andrea's bottom drawer. Anyway.
Yeah, and those sheets are like, who picked those out? Felice? It's like a percale migraine.
It
nope.
Is. Oh, now that we're past Jill being a sexual assault survivor, we can get back to her being an obnoxious New York transplant in our final clip.
Are you sure you can't stay in LA a little longer?
No, I gotta get back to those mean streets. A few more days in Malibu Mellow and I will definitely lose my edge.
You're from LA. Like, as far as we know, she moved to New York for college. Like, settle down.
Also, everyone in one place is pretty much from the other place, so that's not how it works, and shut the fuck up. But we never saw her again.
No, we didn't.
Yay!
She asks if he's ever been to New York first, and when he says he hasn't, she says they'll have to change that, but nope, they never saw her again, as Sarah says. And we end on more gross kissing. Let's end, because it's so disgusting. Starting with our episode MVP. Sarah, who is your choice?
God. There's like no one.
There's no safe one. Place, really. I'm going to say
Natalie?
Brigitte, because
I don't. Brigitte.
She didn't Good do choice. Anything but be true to herself, and God bless. She also had pretty hair. Least valuable player. Oh, God. It's tough because everyone is terrible.
Darla.
Darla! So mean. Darla over Brenda? She was really inconsiderate.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, Brenda will have so many chances to be the least valuable player, and
That's
Darla
true.
Really made the most of this one with the hooker tassel and the like drag king attire. I mean, actually though, maybe she's not. I mean, she still got it in, even
true.
Though she was dressed like who was that kid?
She was dressed not like Richie Bailey Rich. Quarters from WKRP.
No, she was like Alexa P.
Cool.
Keaton. I don't know what
she,
the fuck she was thinking, but
she was Alex P. Keaton with Anna's hair from Fuck Ranch in season 3.
Totally.
Oh, God. Well, somehow Brandon escaped being our least valuable player, even though he was terrible, because he didn't actually sexually assault Jill. However, let's do the Moo Moo Parker challenge. 5 ways from this episode, Brandon might have ended up dead. He could have choked on the fuzzy boom mic, which was outside.
Barber's clippers could have nicked him repeatedly and he could have bled to death. Head wounds. It happens.
He could have had a heart attack from rage on the tennis court and also from the tennising, I suppose. Dave's got one.
He could have met his death at the hands of M. Bison, his Street Fighter II nemesis.
Ooh, good one. I was going to say errant serve to the balls caused an internal hemorrhage.
No! We should be so lucky. That makes 5.
Why should I take the back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. We're finally done with the chapter on Shannon Doherty's terrible financial management. Moving on to her terrible driving. As early as 1991, it was reported that Shannon was a, quote, horror on the highways, horror, not whore, on the highways, and has had repeated run-ins with the law. In just 2 years since attaining her key to the streets, Shannon's life in the fast lane has resulted in 5 speeding tickets, 3 other moving violations, 1 citation for no proof of insurance, and another for no proof of registration. She's paid more than $962 in fines. That seems really high to me. Like, maybe she should not have her driver's license anymore. But anyway.
Oh, that seems sort of low.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. After ignoring one of those speeding tickets, a bench warrant was issued for her arrest and her driver's license was suspended for 6 months. Okay, thanks, book. Her reckless driving accelerated to a point where she received so many tickets that the DMV ordered her to attend traffic school, but she never responded. Those close to her have attested to her reckless ways on the road. Jason Priestley, of the terrible hair, refused to travel to lunch with her, citing a fear of traveling in her car. And in his restraining order against Shannon following their breakup, Dean Factor, look him up, related an outburst during which Shannon was shaking behind the wheel, careening all over the road. I was very much afraid of getting involved in a serious accident, the papers stated him as saying, bad writing. One source went so far as to say, her attitude behind the wheel seems to be, here I am. What? Okay, end of excerpt.
Wow. Next time, speaking of Brenda, she's back. And when she and Dylan take a cut day, the fish are biting. And so is the dialogue when Dan and his doofy bike shorts show up at Andrea's dorm room door. All that anti-Semitic floppy hair and more is available on our website at previously.tv, where we supply visual aids for this and all the other Again With This episodes. For visual aids that are much less upsetting, follow us all on Instagram. I'm at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host Tara Ariano is at Tara Ariano, and our fine feathered producer is at Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beep-a-rooney.